Murray barely gets it done, but he got it done. We talked some quarterbacks and a couple of other random thoughts in this edition of the Todd Wright Toddcast, recording this on, I guess I say, tax day 2025, although I didn't know this until after I filed last week in Florida because of the storms. You have until May 1st. Perhaps that helps you in some way if you are in the state of Florida and weren't going to get it done today, April 15th. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. What does full service mean? Why don't you schedule a free consult and find out if your legal need is something they can help you with? You can schedule the free consult by going to brandonlegalgroup.com or by calling them at 813-902-3576. Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm. Pin Chasers has a location not far from the Brandon office of Brandon Legal Group, but Pin Chasers also services the greater Tampa Bay area. They have four locations. For information on any of those four locations, hours of operation, specials, go to pinchasers.net. They are also very active on Instagram with their social media at Pin Chasers. They still have spring break bowling going as a special for another week or so, but specials just about every night of the week. They also do the breakfast bowl is something I think is really cool. And remember, Pin Chasers does not charge you to rent their bowling shoes. So right away, compared to virtually every other place that you could consider going bowling, Pin Chasers is not going to ask you for money to rent the bowling shoes. That money stays in your pocket. For lane reservations, party planning, and other information, pinchasers.net. Let me also acknowledge again a wonderful woman who helped me at my recent golf tournament. Out of the kindness of her heart that I connected with via Drew Garabo's Down to Bowl event to benefit the Down Syndrome Association of Tampa Bay. I saw her work there. I reached out. I complimented her. I told her about my tournament and said, would you like to do something with me? I had no idea she was going to show up with cupcakes for everybody and just be so wonderful with all my players. She works privately. She is the cake guru. Her name is Danelle. You can find her website at Divine, D-I-V-I-N-E, Cake, C-A-K-E, Guru, G-U-R-U.com, DivineCakeGuru.com. She specializes in divine dessert, sweet creations, weddings, and catering. I have had some of my players reach out to me afterwards, basically saying, yeah, I'm looking forward to stopping in to see her. And I have to go back and tell them, look, she doesn't have a store. She's doing this presumably from her own home, and she specializes in events and catering. So if you have a need for something like that, I'm just on her website right now. I see the cupcakes that she made for all my players and then some. Cupcakes by the dozen, or custom cupcakes by the dozen. So it's not, even if you don't have a lot of people, but if you do like I did, she can be helpful, but she can also do them by the dozen. But it's not like you can just stop into a traditional store and say, hi, I heard about you helping Todd Wright and Drew Garabo on their events. Go to divinecakeguru.com to find out more about Danelle and her wonderful baked creations, and there's more there that I will certainly use for future golf tournaments. Golf email is toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Anything related to golf or my golf events, please email toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. If it's podcast related, let's keep it over on Yahoo at wright.todd@yahoo.com. So, did some TV this week, Sunday night, Tuesday night, and I believe a segment will be airing on Friday or Saturday on both Spectrum Bay News 9 in Tampa Bay and Spectrum News 13 in Orlando / Central Florida on the 10:30 p.m. show that you know as Spectrum Sports 360 that I've been contributing to for some time. And one of the things that we are that came up this week, I was stunned because I tried to get them to give me a segment or two during the football season or leading up to the football season about fantasy football. As I've done 9 seasons of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast via JoeBucksFan.com, running my own leagues, etc., making appearances on VSiN with Gil Alexander and beyond. So it was brought to my attention by a producer that leading up to the draft, where it looks like, again, we're going to have a quarterback go number one in Cam Ward from the University of Miami to the Tennessee Titans. That could change. I actually think Tennessee could do better by trading the pick to someone else who wants Cam Ward than what they will ultimately get out of Cam Ward. That's just my opinion, and I'm a Miami alum. ESPN released these fantasy football rankings of quarterbacks. And we were asked, because of the proximity to the Tampa market, to comment on how the ESPN rankings had Baker Mayfield listed 7th. So I don't want to do this based solely on fantasy football, because this isn't a fantasy football podcast, and I'm not even one who looks at that stuff until I get to about July. I need a break from it. I need a break from fantasy football. By the time I get done with the fantasy football season, I'm glad it's done, because I invest a lot in it and it fries me. So I'm happy that I have a break and I don't study it in the off season. But I asked if we could take a big picture, you know, and kind of look at, all right, Baker's number 7 in these ratings, propped up a bit by his, 360 plus yards rushing and the 3 rushing touchdowns. He threw for 4,500 yards. He accounted for 44 touchdowns. These are all fantasy points. But let's take a big picture. Is or around 7th best Baker Mayfield overall quarterback for the NFL? So whenever I hear someone say that someone's a top 5 quarterback in the NFL, or the 7th best quarterback in the NFL, or the 10th best quarterback in the NFL, or take it to any category, I immediately start thinking, okay, who would I take instead of them, and how many can I get to before I get to that in my head? So that's some of what we did on TV and some of what I want to do here as it relates to Baker Mayfield, who this just in, he's going to be playing for another contract this year. I know you're saying, well, wait a minute, didn't we just go through this? Well, yes, we did. The 3-year contract he got for $100 million after the prove-it deal, when no other team would give him the starting job, which the Bucs did, dismiss all those thoughts that he competed with Kyle Trask. He didn't, or he wouldn't have been here. So after that prove-it deal, where I think with incentives he maybe made about $7 or $8 million, maybe. So then he was rewarded with a deal that guaranteed him $30 million in 2024, $30 million in 2025, $40 million, not a dollar of it, guaranteed in 2026. That's the deal. It was a below market deal for a non-rookie contract, much like Mike Evans took less to stay with Baker. Baker took less to stay with Mike. They both took less to stay with the Bucs in what was a successful offseason. Remember, a year removed, where David came back, Winfield got done, Wirfs got done, Mayfield got done, Evans got done. So that last year of this 3-year contract doesn't really count. Okay, the Bucks could, so if the Bucks are happy with Baker after 2025, they're going to either guarantee that or rip that up and give him another 2 or 3 year deal. They're not going to let, Baker's not going to want to go into the last year of his deal without any money guaranteed. So this is another important year for Mayfield based on the structure of the contract and how there's no guaranteed money on the books for him with the Bucks in 2026. He is under contract, but you watch how this plays out after 2025. So back to my original premise. Again, this is not a fantasy football question. I'm taking it beyond that. Can I buy the argument that Mayfield may be the seventh best quarterback right now in the NFL? And the short answer is yes. I buy the argument, and I would argue it as well. Dave Wirth did TV with me, longtime Channel 10 anchor, one of my Todd Wright Tour Hall of Famers, works over at the Innisbrook Resort these days, keeping golfers from slow play and trying to talk them out of playing the tips on Copperhead. And Dave said, could probably argue him a little higher than that, and I agree with that too. I do. Now, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. So off the top of my head, when I first thought about this, again, this is not fantasy. This is based on what we have right now. So this is before Cam Ward joins the NFL. This is before Shedeur Sanders joins the NFL. Jackson Dart joins the NFL. Before Aaron Rodgers picks his team. I don't think he's in a top seven argument at this point, and he wouldn't have been in mind the last couple of years. And you saw that play out. Granted, nothing good happens with the New York Jets. Just look at what happened to Mekhi Becton, who was a number one draft pick of the Jets, and then let go. And Nick Sirianni sees something in him, makes him a guard, and Becton wins a Super Bowl. And I think just recently got a two-year deal from Jim Harbaugh to play with the Chargers. So, not the right fit for Rodgers and the Jets. But no, he's not in this argument. So who is, right? In my opinion, because to me, winning in the NFL, in the modern NFL, and based on who's been winning big, it's about who you have as the head coach, who you have as the offensive play caller, and who you have as your quarterback. There are other important things, but those are the three most important things in winning Super Bowls in the modern NFL. You hear me talk about coaches all the time, and everybody likes to talk quarterbacks. So here are the quarterbacks that I say rank higher based on what we've seen from them than Mayfield. Mahomes, Allen, Jackson, Burrow. Burrow's been to a Super Bowl. I like that Burrow got so much love last year on a bad Bengals team. And you continue to hear me say, if the Bengals don't get their shit together, Burrow could simply throw up his hands and say, I gave you all I had for the hometown team. Now get me the heck out of here. I can't do this here anymore. And I think he'll end up as the quarterback of the Rams. That's just my opinion. I don't think he's a lifer with the Bengals based on what's been going on until we see something different. So there's four right there. There's four AFC quarterbacks that show me enough based on what they've done in the National Football League to say, yeah. I think in sort of, it's not fantasy football. This is just how I rank the quarterbacks. Those four immediately come off the board in the AFC. In the NFC, and I know some will argue against Jalen Hurts. I won't. I argue for Jalen Hurts. I see what he does. I see how successful he is. I see how successful his team is. There's a lot of wins there the last 3 years. There's two trips to Super Bowls. There's a Super Bowl win against the Kansas City Chiefs. The only other team that has that against an Andy Reid Mahomes combination is Tom Brady. I'm not comparing Jalen Hurts to Tom Brady, but Jalen Hurts is the first quarterback to lose his Super Bowl debut, get back to the Super Bowl, and actually win it since John Elway. Sure, Jalen Hurts has help, but you got to have help, right? Or you're not successful and you're not getting W's. So I'll put Hurts on the list. I'll put Jaden Daniels on the list, who beat Baker head-to-head. And when Baker made a bad turnover, Jaden Daniels was converting fourth downs and leading the Commanders into the end zone, ultimately to win the game, and then going to Detroit and blasting the Lions and ending any hope the Lions had of going to their first Super Bowl. So, and then I understand if you want to argue Mayfield with Hurts, and certainly with Daniels, who has only done it for 1 year. And we have the whole second year thing with Daniels, much like we had it with CJ Stroud, although I will say something feels a little different there. It just does. That I hope you have the respect for Jaden Daniels that you had for CJ Stroud after last year. But Daniels even took it a step further and went to a conference championship game. To me, that's the best seven right there. And Mayfield is a part of that, whether he's seven, whether he's six, whether he's five, whether you're a Buck Homer and you want to put him at one or two, that I'll leave you to that. I'd probably take Josh Allen over anybody in a year. That might be Jaden Daniels over anybody. I'm not big on Lamar Jackson. I think in a playoff game, I'd rather have any of them except Lamar Jackson. Because Lamar Jackson, like Dak Prescott, doesn't seem ready for the moment to play these big playoff games. He doesn't lead his team down the field to score touchdowns in the first half. It's always a very low-scoring effort for Jackson in these playoff losses. He's now 3-5 in the postseason off the latest loss to Buffalo. So there's the seven. And I remember hearing a long time ago when someone was evaluating the draft, it might have been Marty Schottenheimer, who was in the war room with the Chiefs. NFL Films was there. And before they made whoever the pick was, I'm sorry, I don't remember. And Marty just said, all right, last thing. Does anyone have any questions about this player before we make this pick? Is there anyone who has any more questions or concerns? So to me, it's about eliminating the question marks. Can we agree that there are few question marks? There are some. There are few question marks about the seven quarterbacks I listed. There are some, but it's not a long list. And the question marks are small. They're smaller than question marks, say, on Tua Tagovailoa, then on Trevor Lawrence, then on Kyler Murray, then on what's left for Matthew Stafford, then on Jared Goff without Ben Johnson, then on Sam Darnold, then on some of the other rookies like Bo Nix, even off a good year. What's another good one? Justin Herbert. I'm coming around to the question marks that some have had about Herbert after this first season and how quickly they went out in the playoffs, despite being seemingly in a good position to win that game or put that game away early against the Houston Texans. We have question marks about CJ Stroud going into year three. We have question marks about what does Kirk Cousins have left and where are we going to see it? So to me, yes, I buy that Baker, that seven's about the right spot. And I get that some want to argue he's a little higher. I can go a little higher if you want, or at least I can listen to the argument. But I don't know that you're going to find too many who should be above him if we're talking about right now, if you're going to rank the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. And notice I left Prescott out of there, although I think I brought him up in the Lamar Jackson conversation. Nothing would make me happier than somehow for Prescott to find his way to reunite with Kellen Moore if the Saints really need another option and Derek Carr is not going to be available in 2025, but the contract is going to be very difficult to move, and Jerry's very loyal to Dak to a fault. All right, quickly on Rory. Yeah, he got it done, and he didn't have his best stuff, as evidenced by four double bogeys. No Masters champion has ever had four double bogeys in winning a green jacket. None. You know, we know Tiger missed fairways. Tiger had great recoveries. Tiger never made four double bogeys in winning any of his five green jackets. Rory was close. You know, it took over 10 years for Rory to win his sixth major. I was there watching the Masters in person in 2011 when he shot 80. Most of the damage on the back nine. Look, he overcame that because he won. I'm walking with him at Congressional as a fan in 2011 when he lapped the field. So he put it behind him then, and then he won a major in 2012. He won a major in 2013, right? He won a major in 2014. And then he hadn't won one since. He had a near miss in 2022 at the Open Championship, LA Country Club 2023, U.S. Open, Pinehurst losing to Bryson, bad misses on putts in 2024. And here he was with Bryson, with Scotty lurking, Scotty fighting pollen and just being off on his game. And Scotty still grinds out, what, 8 under and finishes fourth. Would have tied for third or been solo third if Patrick Reed doesn't hole out on the 71st hole for eagle. Patrick Reed also always there. Yes, I'm happy for Rory. I'm not going to go overboard and talk about what this means going forward. I think there's a lot of relief in what Rory did. I've always felt Rory at his best was extremely good. And you don't become one of only six people who have ever walked this planet to win every major in professional golf, which he did, without being very good at what you do and being on enough to get it done. He survived. It's amazing to think all the shots he gave away, and he still wins in a playoff. So the double bogeys, right? That's eight shots right there. That's eight shots he gave away. He was 5 over on the second nine on Sunday. 5 over, right? He had various leads at times of 4. Or did it ever get to 5? I guess he started the day 7 ahead of Justin Rose. Justin's in the playoff with him. And yet he made big shots when he had to even though other players were more consistent than him. As Brando Chambly brought up on the Golf Channel coverage, nobody in the history of the Masters has ever recorded 30 scores of 3 on a hole in a Masters. And Rory did. Granted, it took him 73 holes to do it, right? But he had 30 threes on the card. And what, he went out, was it Saturday or was it Sunday, with 5 or 6 straight threes. But after last year's U.S. Open, we were talking about what Bryson did, what Rory didn't. In this case, it's what Rory did, what Bryson didn't. We haven't heard the last of either of these guys. Very happy to see Justin Rose play well. I feel very strongly about him as a human being, that this whole argument that he needed that green jacket to be a Hall of Famer, he is a Hall of Famer. There are a number of men in the Hall of Fame who I don't feel as highly of in professional golf as I do Justin Rose. And Scottie Scheffler was just a little off. It doesn't take much for you to be a little off, right? And it didn't take much for Rory to be a little off 4 times in making double bogeys. and still overcoming that to win his green jacket. It's good for golf, much like the Bryson win at the U.S. Open was also good for golf. Bryson is the most popular player with kids 7 to 15, even though he plays LIV golf and is not as front and center about based on the things he does on social media, how he interacts with the fans. Rory could be a little bit better with that, but he obviously had the support of the fans at Augusta National, not that they root against anybody at Augusta National. That gets you thrown out. That's one of the things I didn't bring up last week in the podcast about how you can't root against anybody while watching that tournament or you will be escorted off the grounds. You're either quiet or you support, and that's it. Those are your two choices. So that's enough on that. Can I end with one thing that's becoming a pet peeve of mine? As I don't drink a lot of soda, but as I've stopped, you know, it's almost a year since I stopped drinking beer, and I wish I had stopped drinking beer 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. So when I'm out with my food or I'm being social, I more often now order a soda, and I like Coke Zero. I do. I like Coke Zero. I like it better than Diet Coke. Leading up to this, just hang with me a second. So how often in your life when you've been in a restaurant and you ask for a Coke, just call it a Coke, and they don't have it, so they carry Pepsi products, right? The line they're supposed to give you is, no, is Pepsi okay? Or, no, we have Pepsi products. Something like that, right? That's been commonplace for a long time. And I like Pepsi. I don't drink a lot of Pepsi, but I like Pepsi. When I go to a restaurant and I specifically say, do you have Coke Zero? And they say yes. Why are they serving me a Diet Coke? I'd like to know this. This has happened to me too much. It's an entirely different drink. Dude, I don't understand it. So if I ask for a Coke Zero and you don't have Coke Zero, shouldn't you say, no, is a Diet Coke okay? The same way if they carried Pepsi products. Yeah, do you have Coke Zero? No, we have Pepsi products. Would you like a Pepsi or a Diet Pepsi? It has happened to me at a couple different places. I don't know if it's just staff being lazy or they don't think there's a difference. It's an entirely different drink, right? I know people who swear by their Diet Coke. I also know people who swear by Coke Zero, and I like Coke Zero. And last night it happened to me at a place where otherwise I had a fine experience, and I just drank it. I just sort of dealt with it. I was having a good time. It was a quick in and out. But if you've dealt with that for any reason, send me an email. Let me know if you've dealt with that too. If you are a Coke Zero fan and they pour you a Diet Coke, it was on my bill. It said Diet Coke. I didn't ask her, but I could taste it wasn't Coke Zero. If you don't have it, say no. Is Diet Coke okay? And then I might be like, what else do you have? Maybe I'll take ginger ale. It's an entirely different drink. That's my point. Even though they're both sugar-free. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group and Pin Chasers. You can email me for golf purposes at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Anything else related to the podcast, wright.todd@yahoo.com. Have a good week. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it.